Welcome to the weekly newsreel in the time of COVID-19.
The weekly newsreel is underwritten by RJ Paddywax Pet Outfitters next to City Market in El Jebel. Open 7 days a week. More info at 970-963-1700 or rjpaddywax.com.
I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. Working from home during this pandemic, so you might hear the refrigerator running in the background. Joining me today, also from his home, is KDNK News Director Lucas Turner. Hi, Lucas. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Amy. Happy to be here.
Talk about what's happening at the station due to Governor Polis's recent stay-at-home order. I mean, how is KDNK planning to weather the storm?
So as you know, radio stations are considered essential under the new state health order. And so we're going to continue our operations. Up until this point, even before the statewide stay-at-home order, we did start limiting access to the station just to staff and scheduled DJs. And we've done a lot of messaging and training around social distancing, sanitation, and hygiene, and things like that. But under this new statewide stay-at-home order, we decided as a staff that starting on Monday, March 30th, all volunteer DJs are going to be required to stop coming into the station. We do not take this decision lightly, and we've had multiple discussions about this over time, but ultimately we decided this was the right thing to do. We really want to do our part to limit the spread of COVID-19, protect the vulnerable population, our KDNK family, and the community as a whole. And so this is how we're going to do that moving forward. And it's important to remember that this is a temporary measure. KDNK is a community access station and will always be a community access station. And we're actually working on some ways for our volunteer DJs to continue to DJ, build their set lists, host their shows remotely. We want to maintain and preserve the community input as much as possible during this time. So any DJs who have questions about that should email our program director, Raleigh Burley, or music director, Cody Lee. That's raleigh@kdnk.org or cody@kdnk.org.
You spoke with Carbondale Mayor Dan Richardson this week about a new task force the town has formed in response to COVID-19.
Yeah, so I spoke with Mayor Richardson about the newly formed Carbondale Emergency Task Force. And the role of that task force is basically to support and provide guidance for the town of Carbondale in these key areas of potential impact from the COVID-19 crisis. We talked about how the task force will operate and what it's going to mean for the community moving forward.
So the task force is a collective group of volunteers and organizational expertise from all across the community. And the idea is that it provides support and guidance to the town in the key areas that we call lines of effort that will help us respond to the coronavirus pandemic. We do have a vision, and our vision for the task force is to understand, support, and advocate for the needs of the community during a time of international crisis to ensure the safety, security, and equity for all. It's meant to be a comprehensive resource that really doesn't exist in normal times. I think one of the things that's so unique about Carbondale is it's somewhat decentralized, and we have all these organizations that do great things. But now that we need to be centralized in order to get resources out, that's what's caused the need for this task force to form.
You mentioned these 8 lines of effort. So could you just tell us what the lines of effort are and maybe explain a little bit more about why this task force chose those 8 lines of effort?
They include health, economy, strategic communications, human capital, finance, technology, advocacy, and crisis response. And those were chosen basically because we feel like they represent the issues of the community that would be impacted by this pandemic. So the idea with the task force is to have a dashboard that understands those issues and then can respond to them. So for example, with the health, we're trying to understand what is the capacity, what are the needs, what's going on right now, so that then we can provide resources to the community. Or likewise with the economy, what's happening with the economy, what businesses are most affected, and therefore what policies do we need to contemplate, or what resources do we need to identify or garner. The human capital, same thing. How can we link what's going on, and how can we link resources that are available with those who need them? So really, it's a broad dashboard, and the task force is meant to create the dashboard and use that dashboard to inform where support can be allocated.
How does this evolve in the future, or what does the process look like moving forward? Is there a weekly meeting with the task force? Is there community input? How does all of that work?
That's a good question, and a lot of credit, all the credit really of the idea needs to go to PC Drew, who came up with this idea, who has a lot of experience. And his idea is for this to be a sustainable endeavor that can respond beyond coronavirus. So right now we're meeting 3 times a week. We were meeting every day, but as we get systems in place, we're going to meet 3 times a week. Essentially, the task force are the leads of each of those lines of effort, so we can coordinate and be on the same page with what's happening. The human capital is really, it's probably the largest of the lines of effort. Amy Kimberly is heading that up with Carbondale Arts, and she's working with the seniors. She's working with Dave Reed's mutual aid group and others. And I would say that's probably the biggest conduit for community feedback. On our task force website, which is at carbondalegov.org, community members can either volunteer or ask for help. So that's how the conduit will work for the community to be in touch with the task force and how the task force is operating.
Great. And so just to make sure that I understand, there's obviously the task force that's in place, but people will be able to either volunteer or request help through the task force and the website.
Correct. You know, there are lots of places where you could do that, I imagine, in community, but we're trying to consolidate that. So if you go to carbondalegov.org, that's the town of Carbondale's website, and you'll see a prominent link for the task force. And when you click on resources, there are 2 options. One is the Carbondale volunteer form, and another one is the Carbondale assistance request form. So those are pretty easy to find and pretty clear.
All right, great. Well, is there anything else that you want to cover?
Just, again, I want to thank the task force. It's been an enormous effort. A lot of people and organizations like the Chamber, like Carbondale Arts, and certainly the town. I think our Spanish translation, I'm really impressed. Most of our stuff, if not all of it already, is being translated into Spanish so that we can reach our entire population. And then just kudos to other organizations that aren't officially involved, but I know Roaring Fork School District and Lift Up, they're all doing great things. So I feel like as a community, we're really responding very well.
Lucas Turner, is there anything you'd like to add about COVID-19 coverage?
You know, we talked early on about the balance of coverage so that every story wouldn't be about coronavirus. And we have had other stories, but it's honestly just had such a massive impact on every aspect of life. And so some of the newscasts this week really were all COVID-19. I think we'll find better ways to strike that balance moving forward. But things are going to keep rapidly changing. So, you know, we'll just have to roll with the punches. I think my main takeaway for myself and for listeners and community members is really going to be the same things that we hear over and over. Listen to the public health officials. Understand the importance of social distancing. Practice good hygiene, and that means washing your hands, but it also means maintaining your mental health. And if you need something, whether it's food or toilet paper or somebody to talk to and share your feelings, reach out on one of these online communities and just ask. You know, I think people are really feeling the spirit of generosity and community right now, so I'm sure you'll find somebody who's happy to help.
Well, thanks again for joining me. You can find more COVID-19 information at kdnk.org. Just click on the banner at the top of the page. On Sunday, Governor Jared Polis ordered most businesses in the state to cut office workforces by half. He encouraged residents to stay at home, except to get supplies, care for loved ones, drive to work, or play outside at a safe distance. But by midweek, the governor made staying at home an order that went into effect Thursday morning. Coloradans are still able to get groceries, take walks, and care for loved ones, but Polis is ordering most of the state's 5.7 million residents to stay at home at all other times. The order does not apply to essential workers like doctors and first responders. You can hear the entire press briefing on the stay-at-home order at KDNK.org. Ding! You're listening to KDNK's weekly newsreel, highlighting regional and local stories aired on KDNK between Monday, March 23rd and Friday, March 27th, with in-kind support from Rifle Community TV, providing local information and non-commercial programming, including coverage of Rifle City Council, the RE2 School Board, the Energy Advisory Board, Northwest Colorado Oil and Gas Forum, and more. Rifle TV is at riflenow.org. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. Closer to home, Mountain Family Health Centers changed their protocols in light of COVID-19.
We're really pleased with the community response to the COVID-19 outbreak. It has been fast moving for all of us.
That's Ross Brooks, CEO and patient of Mountain Family Health Centers, a community-based clinic with offices in Glenwood Springs, Rifle, Basalt, and Edwards. A mobile dental bus is based in Glenwood Springs.
Our first job at Mountain Family is to provide that care for 21,000 medical, dental, and behavioral health patients.
Mountain Family's Smiles dental programs in Rifle and the Avon school-based clinic are closed right now. But that's only part of some new protocols the clinic has put in place to flatten the coronavirus curve. Brooks says Mountain Family has moved away from face-to-face visits in the clinics in favor of telephone visits and telehealth physical and behavioral health visits.
In addition, we're doing some what we're calling our drive-by parking lot visits as well, to be able to provide care for patients, but ultimately to protect our staff and the community from the spread of COVID-19.
Dr. Matt Percy explains the drive-by protocols.
What we're trying to do is have providers and nurses be triaging patients over the phone. So what a patient could expect if they call in to Mountain Family is to get to talk to a provider or a nurse within 24 hours. Hopefully most people we can, you know, handle whatever is needed over the phone or via a video conference, but there's a few people that we may need to look at in person, and then those will try and arrange seeing you in your car in the parking lot or in a table set out outside the clinic.
Percy, medical director of Mountain Family and Rifle, says that telehealth will allow patients and doctors to visit by video call, but it all begins with a phone call.
All the recommendations around this are changing very quickly, but as of right now, the first place you start is by calling us, 970-945-2840.
That's 970-945-2870.
And you'll speak with somebody in our call center, and then they'll kind of triage it from there. But yeah, most calls are getting routed to providers and nurses, and then we'll give you some guidance over the phone.
The one other thing I'd add to what Dr. Percy shared is that we're asking patients not to just show up physically at the clinic. We really do want you to give us a call first.
Dr. Percy says right now Mountain Family is not testing for COVID-19.
We have a pretty limited amount of tests, and right now some of the recommendations are leaning towards only testing those sickest patients or people in the hospital. We also have a limited amount of protective equipment for our staff to test, and testing is actually one of the higher risk procedures, so you pretty much need to dispose all your protective equipment after you've tested someone. Since we have a limited supply, that's another reason we don't want to test. And then perhaps the most important reason as an individual patient is it doesn't really change your management very much. You know, there's not a specific medicine that we give or anything if COVID is positive.
He adds that if someone meets the criteria for testing, Mountain Family is sending them to Gypsum.
So there is a tent set up outside of, I believe, Gypsum Urgent Care that people can get tested at, but they are only testing people with a order from their primary care provider and only that meet specific criteria from the state.
Last week, the Director General of the World Health Organization encouraged all countries to test for the disease. So why isn't that happening here?
And I think it's mostly a supply thing around the actual swab to do the tests, the reagent to send the test in, and the capacity of the state lab to run tests. Those are all somewhat limited. And then in addition to the personal protective equipment for staff that we need to wear and then dispose if we did do a test.
Ross Brooks agrees with the World Health Organization, but says the problem is one of supply on the federal and state levels.
So I know our state is trying to work with the federal government on expediting testing capacity. The president announced potential testing in large retail parking lots like a Target or a Walmart. We haven't seen that come to fruition in our communities yet. And we've been working with the governor's office on trying to expedite testing in our local communities, but it's not a done deal yet. So it's a work in progress.
Dr. Percy says the way out of the flattening the curve strategy is an extensive testing program. Meanwhile, Mountain Family urges us to keep our distance and wash our hands. On Monday, Garfield County Commissioners approved a $100,000 emergency grant to Lift Up.
Last year, Lift Up served 625 meals per week to families from Carbondale to Parachute. Executive Director Angela Mills says the emergency funding from Garfield County will allow the organization to increase that number to 700 per week. The operation is centered at the Garfield County Fairgrounds in Rifle, but Mills says mobile food pantries will make distributions throughout the county on a regular schedule.
We would be distributing one day a week in Parachute, Rifle. We would go up to 2 days a week with the mobile distribution, Newcastle 2 days a week, Glenwood 2 days a week, Carbondale 2 days a week.
Commissioner Tom Jankowski says he doesn't want anyone in Garfield County to go hungry during the crisis and offered Lift Up additional funding support if needed.
If for some reason you have to go up to 800 or 900 families per week, then do that and come back for additional funding, because I don't want any families, individuals, children going hungry.
Lift Up Executive Director Angela Mills says food pantry locations will be drive-up or walk-up for those who do not have vehicles. She says volunteers will take safety precautions while filling out paperwork to avoid unnecessary contact. She also explains the types of items people have already been picking up.
Two very big bags of shelf-stable items. And then we also, through Grocery Rescue and some other donations, a lot of folks got milk and fresh produce and other fresh items. And that's how we, at this moment, see ourselves moving forward.
Lift Up's extended table service is also offering grab-and-go bagged meals on Tuesdays and Thursdays in Rifle and Glenwood. They're also seeking donations of reusable grocery bags and non-perishable food items, which can be dropped off at the Garfield County Fairgrounds Monday to Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. or at any of the mobile food pantry locations during distribution. You can find a list of locations for food pantries and bagged meals from the extended table service at liftup.org. I'm Lucas Turner.
Lucas Turner also reported that the number of predatory and misleading websites has increased by 350% since January.
According to the report by Atlas VPN, more than 300,000 or 75% of the sites were coronavirus-related. Typically called phishing sites, they attempt to extract information from unsuspecting users like usernames, passwords, and geolocation data. Oftentimes, they're disguised as official pages. Experts say the best way to avoid this kind of exploitation is to only get critical information from official sources like government websites or trusted news outlets, and always check the URL of the site you're visiting to make sure it's not a fake. So, for example, if you're on a site that looks like it belongs to KD&K, but the URL at the top of the browser says anything other than kdnk.org, you might just be on a phishing site. Oh, and by the way, that's phishing spelled with a PH.
The U.S. Census Bureau has extended the response deadline for the 2020 census to August 14th. In a press release issued Tuesday, the Bureau says that 24% of Colorado households have self-responded to census questionnaires so far. Self-responding will reduce the need for census takers to knock on doors. Other adjustments include the following. For households using post office boxes, census packets will be dropped off at doorsteps. College students should be counted where they live and sleep most of the time. The Census Bureau is working with nursing homes, college dorms, prisons, shelters, soup kitchens, and other institutional living facilities to make sure everyone is counted. If a household has not self-responded after a series of reminder mailings, expect a census taker at the door between May and August. The 2020 census is a short questionnaire that asks about who lives in a household. Only one person in that household should respond. Census results determine congressional representation, federal funding, and provide other data that will affect communities for the next decade. You can participate in the 2020 census online, by phone, or by mail. More information is at 2020census.gov.
The Internet Archive has expanded readers' access to digital books of all genres with its National Emergency Library, which was launched globally this week. All waitlists for books will be suspended, and readers can borrow up to 10 volumes at a time. The Archive's Open Library is an online space for readers to create and share reading lists with others. Find the collection at archive.org.
A Seattle NPR affiliate station stopped airing live COVID-19 briefings from the White House this week, prompting NPR headquarters to issue a statement on Thursday. KUOW, the Seattle station, cited a pattern of false or misleading information that cannot be fact-checked in real time as a reason for discontinuing the live broadcasts. The station also said the decision was not politically based and that staff would revisit the decision daily. NPR will now offer member stations a live stream of the White House briefings on a separate channel, and also said coverage decisions change daily. You can read the entire op-ed by NPR public editor Elizabeth Jensen at kdnk.org. One of the bright spots in an otherwise dark news week comes from the Anti-Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. ASYEP wants to keep youth DJs connected to KDNK during the stay-at-home days of social distancing. DJ Mountain Mace phoned in Thursday to speak with ASYEP director Beth Wysong, who was hosting the show. They talked about what he and his family have been doing during what Mountain calls an extended spring break.
This is KDNK Carbondale. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, and I have a special caller on the phone, I hope. Hello, are you there?
Hi, Beth. I am here.
Hi, Mountain. Yay, it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, great to hear yours as well.
Oh, how are you doing out there?
I am doing just fine. I am staying healthy and active.
All right. Well, Mountain, remind listeners, you're one of our most dedicated ASYEP DJs, and you're on the news team. Tell us what school you go to and how old you are.
Well, I am 14, and I go to Carbondale Middle School, and I don't quite remember how long I've been with the program, but it's been quite a while.
It's been at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I think we're moving on to 5 years. I remember when I met you fondly after Stacy met you and recruited you to come on over to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. He's also my tech guru, so whenever I have a tech problem, Mountain Maze is the person I call. So what has been keeping you busy?
I haven't been doing much. I've been just hanging out with my family a lot. I'm helping out my mom with her art studio. We're doing some big-time cleanup around there, getting it fresh and going again, which will be good.
Tell the listeners what the art studio is.
It's called Handmakery, and it's on Main Street, and she does art classes for all ages of children, and you can learn more at handmakery.com.
Don't you help her with her website?
I do, and we're going to start possibly thinking about doing the idea of some video classes at the moment because of the whole coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I've been witnessing lots of people, you know, getting creative. I think that's one positive thing that's going on right now, probably around the world, is people are getting creative with their skills.
Absolutely.
And I know that your mom is a very talented artist and art teacher, so I think that that'll be great. And clearly you're a very talented tech guy with lots of skills, too, so you can help her out. And I think people are just coming together to, decide what they're good at and help the community that way. So
thank you, Beth.
Good to both of you. And then anything else? Have you been getting some vitamin D going in the sunshine? And
I have. Yeah, we've been going on like 4 walks a day, each about like 45 minutes long, just around our loop and stuff. And it's good.
Yeah. What's your dog's name again?
Her name is Zuli.
How's she doing?
She's doing really good.
Yeah. Rainy's doing well too. I think we're really lucky to have pets in our lives, I think.
Yes, it's a very good sanity keeper.
Yeah. And on that note, if you don't have a pet and you've been considering it, there's some great pets for adoption at CARE Animal Rescue. They are still up and running, and you can go get a cat or a dog. And they are great supporters of the Andy Zanke Youth Empowerment Program, so shout out to them. So, Mountain, anything else you want to tell us?
Well, I would just like to wish you, Beth, and all of the listeners out there to keep practicing your healthy hygiene and have a great, extended spring break, I guess we can call it. And, yeah, keep staying healthy.
Right. I know. We're on spring break and I extended, and I don't know when the next time the news team will be back together. However, keep those ideas going, because we're going to have some great stories after this.
Yeah. Hopefully it's soon.
Yeah, right? Hopefully soon. Well, give my love to your family, and thanks, and get a playlist created. Maybe we'll get your playlist played here in the next couple of radio shows. So start creating one at home. All right. Thanks, Mountain. You're the best.
Thank you, Beth.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
AsYep airs Mondays on KDNK from 2 to 4:30 p.m., Thursday from 7 to 9, and Sunday from 2 to 4. And finally, by Friday evening, the coronavirus had taken two people in Pitkin County and two in Eagle County. KDNK sends condolences to the family and friends of the deceased. Been listening to the weekly newsreel, KDNK's news magazine, highlighting top stories aired between Monday, March 23rd and Friday, March 27th. Subscribe to our podcast and give us a review on iTunes. If you have a tip on something you'd like the KDNK news team to cover, send it to news@kdnk.org. All submissions are confidential. And remember, you can find up-to-date information about COVID-19 at our website. Click on the banner at the top of the page. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. Thanks for listening.